Well, a message that deals with you overcoming sin. I think it'd be worth your attention, worth your understanding, worth changing the way you think about life, perhaps. Let me ask you then to bow in silent prayer and just ask the Lord to bless this message to your own heart. The overcoming attitude. I like that concept. This is prescribed for us by God. Our text that we'll be going through in the series will be Romans 12, 14 to 21. But the beginning text is verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's something great about the way that just rolls off the tongue. This is, do not be overcome, but overcome. And we need to understand that. So let's look at the terms. We don't understand anything unless we understand or define what we're talking about. So what do these terms mean? What is evil? Overcome evil. And it's a legitimate question. The question is the Greek word. There were many different words of evil that referred to various specific things. But this is the Greek word kakos. I always thought that was kind of interesting. Little babies, when something was bad, it was kaka. Speaking the original Greek, I guess it was just weird. But kakos, and it refers specifically to anything characterized by lacking some or all good qualities. So a thing that has no good quality, that's just kakos. This is the general word for bad. Why is it bad? Because it has no good quality, you see. The opposite of good. Well, then what is overcoming? The Greek word is nikao, which means to conquer. Nike, the brand of the running shoes and stuff, Greek for winning. So in this, winning over the bad, things that are not good. So the first phrase is a prohibition. It means, and A.T. Robertson says, it means stop being conquered by the evil thing or the evil man. However evil embodies itself to you, has the definite article. So it could refer to the devil, but is that which is evil. Stop being conquered. There is a picture of us being beaten up by the bad. And he says, stop allowing that. Stop being conquered. And then the second phrase is a command. A.T. Robertson again translates it, but keep on conquering the evil in the good. As we participate in the good, we are overcoming the evil. So this is something that's quite possible for us. So we want to get into this and make it as practical as possible. So what situations does this describe? Well, things that are bad. I don't know what's bad for you. You know, what tears you down? You know, what stops you? So situations. Your mother-in-law criticizes your cooking, tells a friend you were never good enough to marry her son. This happens. Your boss fails to recognize your extra efforts and instead finds fault with you and blames you for what others have done. Someone wrongs you, just does something bad to you. Someone hurts your feelings. All right? Situations. Now, these are bad. They don't have a good quality to them, see? So, what are your responses? Now, here we get, you can't help when the bad things happen. In fact, it's assumed that bad things are going to happen. Part of this present evil age. So let's examine the responses. You can control your responses. So do you wish the worst on your offender? Well, that's not the best. Do you hope for retaliation? Do you immediately lash out with vengeful words? God has always protected me from that because I can't think well when I'm upset. It's like, well, you know, and that really sounds stupid. So, you know, not only was I injured by the word, but I look stupid. So I decided just being quiet was enough. So don't lash out with vengeful words. Are you completely passive? Go ahead and hit me, you know. Do you quietly mope in a depression? Do you pray that God will remove him? The imprecatory psalms? Make his family hate him, die out. No. Well, these are not the best answers. So, number three, what should you do? Taking this then, for just what it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What you should do is to overcome, to be a conqueror, to rise above that situation. Be a winner. So are you a winner? Well, don't answer so quickly. Maybe, yes, I'm a winner. Not usually, you know. Don't answer so quickly. The thing is, this is God's word for us, and so we've got to see this from God's point of view. So your Savior, Jesus Christ, says, number one, you may be a winner. That's possible. Insists, two, you must be a winner. He's saying, overcome it. And three, commands you to be a winner. Now, God will not command you to do something you can't do. Now, he will command you to do things you can't do on your own, in your own power. But he will not command you to do something that's impossible. So, if you decide that being a winner is not your personality, or maybe just your track record, be careful not to deny the Word of God with a defeatist attitude. You are being influenced by the things around you, and especially by the things that you put around you. You are being influenced by the way you keep your house, by the when you sit down, you see. Am I a trashy person? Well, if you live in a trashy place, then that is suggesting to you inside you're a trashy person. You're okay with trash, you see. This is the thing that we forget, that we often suggest things to ourselves that hurt us. And so defeatist words, defeatist thoughts, that just turns us down and down and down. Rather, we ought to look at what God says. So, many people influence and convince themselves of defeat by their own language. So let's understand, first of all, you are able to be a winner and overcome evil. This is a fact given to you by God. 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born or has been born of God overcometh the world. There is the attitude, many times these verses are being preached by the preacher who says, now, try harder, be a overcomer. That's not the overcoming he's talking about here. This is the overcoming of the world in general, and that happens when you get saved. You cannot overcome the world when you are part of the world. When you're part of the devil's scheme, you're only going to be a part of what the devil wants. And that's not good for you. The devil cares nothing for you. All these stories about selling your soul to the devil. You already belong to him when you're not saved. He doesn't need you to sign a thing, see? You already belong to him. So getting saved is conquering the devil, is conquering the world. So that makes you an overcomer. You that are born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, not our dynamic works, not our supernaturally powerful willpowers. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you see that? That you have entered into the winning circle when you join Jesus Christ. Christ can do anything. He's God. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are taken into him. When God looks at you, having been saved, he sees Jesus Christ. This is why you will never be lost once you're saved. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, and we saw what that definition was there in 1 John, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. That means you will live forever, you see. The tree of life was taken away from Adam and Eve after they sinned. Well, they were kicked out of the garden, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in their unsaved state, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God has transplanted it from the Garden of Eden into the New Jerusalem. We find that there's the water of life, a river that flows through the court area of the the heavenly Jerusalem, and then the tree, the river actually goes in the midst of the tree. The tree grows on both sides of the river. And 12 different kinds of fruit, maybe one each month, I don't know, but maybe all 12 at once. But you eat of it and you live forever. So he says that's the blessing. You'll be able to, that's going to be our home. The church's home is going to be the New Jerusalem, huge, giant place, huger than you can imagine, nearly a 1,500-mile square city, 1,500 miles high, generally 1,500 miles. And Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. That's where he is now, by his Father's throne. We will be there with him by his throne, again, in Christ's kingdom on earth. So, the point I'm making is that you are able to be a winner, and again, not depending on your talent and skill and physical strength and all that stuff. You can be a winner because you're trusting in Christ and he gives you that ability. So you are a born again winner, a born winner. How about that? So you are able to be a winner. Then secondly, do not deny God's word. You say, well, I don't have much of a track record of being a winner. Don't deny God's word. This is where you are contradicting what God says, contradicting what God says for you. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So let's think for a moment about negative thinking. God has built us in such a way that what we aim at as a goal, the mind works out many different avenues. But when we set the goal, we focus on the goal, God has worked it out where we automatically adapt to reaching that goal. They keep discovering this over and over again. A little book called The Secret and all this stuff. It's no secret. God has told us this over and over again. So, negative thinking. I hope I don't lose too much ground. Negative thinking. I hope I can keep my nose above water. Negative thinking. This is like that third servant in Jesus' parable, Matthew 25:24-25. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast what is thine. I haven't done anything with your talent that you gave me, because I was afraid. He was content to achieve only the minimum. And what did his Lord think of that? He didn't think that was a good idea. Verses 26, 27, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. You're blaming it on being careful. I'm telling you it's because you're wicked and because you're lazy, you see. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. You know that. So thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with money. He says you could put it in the savings account that's giving you 0.001% interest, and you'd have a little more than what I gave you. So people excuse themselves because of the evil done to them. We're in a world where I look everywhere for an excuse, so it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I had evil was done to me. My parents wronged me. My spouse hurt me. My boss double-crossed me. My circumstances did evil to me. I have the fat gene. I can't help it. Granted, we have these things. But you can be a winner over that. Let us not be surprised when others do wickedly. This is a fallen world. This is the way things are. Unsaved people do wicked things. We can count on it. So let's suppose that others have wronged you, that these things are real. It does not excuse your failure. He doesn't say overcome evil as long as nobody's done anything bad to you. God wants you to deal with that wrong by making a positive advance and showing definite growth. Take the bad, build from it, and overcome it. So, let us expunge the negative thinking. We don't find it here. Overcome. Be not overcome, but overcome. You do the overcoming. So, let's look at positive thinking. The battle that you face is not just a troublesome inconvenience. It is your opportunity to gain ground. When my wife and I had our trip to Israel, and this was what year, do you think? 1980. We saw on the main road going north and south there in Israel, there were burned out Jeeps and I think tanks, but other war things. It had only been a few years before that they had a three-day war. Now, this was when the Islam again tried to wipe them out from the face of the earth. And it didn't work out too well for them. In fact, Israel just reclaimed territory. We were able to visit the Temple Mound and see the foundation stones of the temple, because they reclaimed that area during that time. So the trouble came to them, and they overcame it and claimed ground that they didn't have before. In fact, our guide was telling us that when when Israel reclaimed Jerusalem, they asked the guides to show them where things were. The guides were allowed in when it was in enemy hands. But this is your opportunity to gain ground. You see, this is your opportunity. This is one reason why God allows evil to come your way. He allows it? Yes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation, this word for trial, difficulty, the bad things. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You have not suffered something that nobody else has ever suffered. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, will not allow you to be tested above what you are able. The devil says, I have the perfect problem for this person, and they won't be able to overcome it. God says, you can't use that one. You got to pick something they can defeat. He will not allow you to be tempted. He will not allow the devil to tempt you above what you are able. But not only that, but will with the temptation, the trial, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, I have included in your trial a key that will help you overcome it. This is why I say, overcome evil with good. Matthew 5:11-12. When we see things from God's point of view, we will actually rejoice that he gives us trials. Now, Psalm 119:71. Think of this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. You see, looking after the thing's over, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. By doing things God's way, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my problems, in the midst of the evil being done to me, I was not overcome, but I overcame. So he says, all in all, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. See, that's a bad thing, people reviling you. But blessed when they revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You see, we're working here more than just for this world. God, the angels, men of the world are all watching our lives to see what happens. And we have a great reward in heaven, which cannot be taken away. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. To be able to rank among the prophets when we get to heaven, that would be a great thing. Shoulder to shoulder with Elijah. Yeah, it's amazing. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. The apostle is being tried with a thorn in the flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to take this thorn away from you. I think it was a man. I think it was a person. Followed along, just giving him trouble. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. God will allow you to have that weakness, that your strength, overcoming it, will magnify God. You catch this? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, the apostle says, oh, well, I understand that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Here's another opportunity for things to happen, for me to gain ground, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Sunday school lesson, Paul's in a shipwreck, has to swim ashore. He's helping put wood on the fire, and a viper comes out and hangs on his hand. He shakes it off into the fire. And people say, this must be a really terrible man. He survives the shipwreck, and he gets bitten by this venomous serpent. He's going to die. And they waited, and he didn't die. His hand didn't swell up. He didn't fall suddenly over dead. And they said, oh, he must be a god. God's power was working in his weakness, you see. So he says, so when the weakness things happen, the trials happen, I rejoice because God's going to show his power. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy. You're not going to be giddy happy when problems come, but you can count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. You can say, here's another opportunity for me to overcome, for me to gain ground. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, trial, that you get through it, you see. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And another passage, 1 Peter 4:12-14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. He says, this is the way of the world. You are on a right path. You are trying to do the right things. You are trying to gain the holy ground that you're destined for. Don't be surprised that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a fiery trial. Don't be surprised. Expect it. Expect it. As though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, when Christ returns, revealing his glory, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. For you to end your life with people saying, God worked in that person. You've won. You've won. All right. Let me close with this. And this is the concept that we need to put into action when we are suffering these bad things. So, number three is this. Reinterpret, relabel your problems, your trials. What we've just read is the apostles telling us that when the troubles come, it's an opportunity for you to gain ground. So, we're not upset. We're not blaming God. Why would he allow this to happen to me? This is part of the world. And this is the part that we're involved in now. Growing in grace, growing in virtue, developing powers to overcome these things. That's what we're all about. This is that part. Our spirit has been saved when we trusted Christ as Savior. Our soul is being saved, and finally our body will be caught up into heaven and our body will be saved. But this saving of our soul, this changing of the way we think, changing of the way we love and hate, this changing of the way we choose, this is what we're all about now. This is the transformation of our mind and our will and our emotions. So how does that happen? Well, first of all, we face a trial and we see God's power exercised in us through it. Does God intend for you to sit around licking your wounds, pouting, and blaming others for your problems? No. What does he want? Be not overcome of evil. Sitting there, overcome. Be not. Stop allowing that. But overcome evil with good. So this verse teaches at least these three truths. First, God acknowledges the certainty of wrongdoing directed toward you. It is going to happen. I've lived a pretty blessed life. Had a few broken bones and a few problems like that, and had disappointments in my life and all that. But, you know, generally things have been really great. But some people were just one thing after another. But it's certain. Don't be surprised, Peter says. Secondly, God holds you responsible to successfully withstand the attack. To be stronger than the attack. He wouldn't have allowed it to attack you if you were not able. You see? He's restricted the attacks to things you're able to defeat. And so he holds you responsible. So do what needs to be done. And then God insists that you overcome the wicked one or the wicked thing. He's given you a command. Overcome evil. Now, let's recognize this. God leaves you with no place for self-pity, excuses, defeatism. I'm just one of those people who just never... Do not be defeated by the wrongs that others do to you. See, that's the expansion. Be not overcome of evil. Where does evil come from? Well, it comes to us through the people that do things to us. The devil's behind it all. You hear, this is God speaking to you. Do not be defeated by the wrongs that others do to you. So do not leave the infinite power of God's grace out of the equation. You plus God are a winning combination. You can handle anything that the world throws at you because God's governing that. Well, I have this bad health. Who gives you your health? See. So recognize that God's every command and requirement was issued with a full understanding of both our limitations and our abilities. God knows exactly who you are, what you can do, and what you can't do. So every of his commands, all of his requirements are given to you with that in mind. Now, his sovereign, wise control gives us no difficulty that we cannot handle with his help. No problem that we can't handle. You say, well, I'm dying of cancer. Well, it's appointed that a man wants to die. We'll accept that. Somebody said, I've got to die of something. I'm not going to live forever. So maybe it's going to be this thing or that thing. But it's going to be something. Be top of your form. Get hit by a drunk driver. You know, these are not things we can control. So, his all-powerful, sovereign, wise control gives us, allows us no difficulty that we cannot handle with his help, sovereign power of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we saw this before. There hath no temptation, no trial, no testing taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer. He will not allow, he will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. Now, this is talking to the Christian, the one that God is invested in, you who are sons of God, children of God, inheritance, ones who will inherit his great blessing. But he will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We have to find the way to escape so that we are greater than the problem that's built into the system. And as that happens, this gives us hope. Here's the picture of the process, Romans 5:3-5. And not only so, but we glory, boast even, in tribulations. I understand this. There have been times in our life together that finances were just very scarce. We were working to honor God, follow his leading. And we committed ourselves to that task, jumped into it, not exactly blindly, but certainly in our young age, we didn't know all that might have happened. And God saw us through every time, every situation. From the standpoint now, looking back, we glory in that because God took care of us. And just yesterday, took my son and his wife to a restaurant. And as we were getting there, the rain started coming down and I had to turn the wipers on higher and higher. And so my wife is making the plan. She said, well, when we get there, we have I have two umbrellas in the car here, so I'll run out and give it to them and so on. We got into the place and pulled up to the parking lot and it stopped raining on us. We got out in dry ground. Well, not dry ground, but dry air. And when we left the restaurant, it was not raining on us. And on the way home, it was raining. We had to turn the wipers on higher and higher. Wonder how that happened. I told her it reminded me of the time I recognized it for about a month, maybe a month and a half. I can't remember now. God never let it rain on me. I would get into the car, it'd start raining, go to a place, and it'd stop raining. I'd get out. I remember the first time it rained on me. I said, okay, well, that's over. Well, thank you so much for that. You know, who controls the weather? God does. And sometimes he likes to give us these little hugs, you know. I'll just keep your bald head dry, you know. Okay, thanks. Amazing. Maybe a coincidence. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. This is the word for endurance. Hupomeno is to hold on under the situation, just holding on, you know. This is where you just keep bearing it. You keep standing up when it's trying to push you down. So the tribulation works patience, endurance. You gain endurance by withstanding it. And then the patience, the endurance, it works experience. We know a little better how to handle things. And the experience gives us hope. You say, what's the hope? The thing is, if it happens again, we've already been through this type of thing. In fact, by this age, there hasn't been much that we haven't been through. We don't fear the future. Hope maketh not ashamed. If you hope in someone, they can fail you and you'd be ashamed in that hope. But if you hope in God and in his power through you to overcome evil, you will never be ashamed. He says, I'll never let you down. Because the love of God is shed abroad, it's literally here poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Bible tells us that God is love. And at the time of salvation, God puts the Holy Spirit in you. His love is actually put within you to speak in that deepest part of your life, to say, what would be the loving thing? What would Jesus do here? And you say, how can I help? Loving God, loving others. So hope turns to endurance, not merely to endure the trial, but also to win the battle. So our text, Romans 12:21, is a clear witness to God's empowering you to be a winner. We're going to be exploring this in the various passages, or the various verses in this passage. And I hope you can just sense a little bit of an excitement to think about how all these things are pointed out to you, that you don't have to take this and just get hit. You might get hit, but you jump back up. This is the way God intended our battles to go. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, you have told us that we are going to be embattled with things that are not good. The devil is behind it, but you have him on a leash, as it were, where you don't allow him to just do anything. Like you did with Job, he could do certain things, but not everything. And we know that you will stop him from doing something that would be absolutely impossible for us to overcome. Each trial is a test for us to find the way to win, the way to overcome emotionally, the way to overcome mentally, the way to overcome physically. Father, we know that disease or injury will take us to heaven one day, but we're not going to be afraid of going to heaven. We ask that you might help us then to be wise in the battles, to recognize we get an opportunity to actually gain ground spiritually by fighting the battles. Without the battle, we wouldn't gain. And so, Father, we ask that you might help us then to look forward to a future of battles. That's a given. But the winning of battles, the gaining of the opportunity to win over evil, to overcome it. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm speaking to people that perhaps are saved, but not used to battling difficulties. Or perhaps I'm speaking to someone who's never received Christ as Savior, who's not asked Jesus to be their Savior. Can I say to you, please turn to Christ. Turn to him to give you the power to do what needs to be done, to become the winner that you'd hope to be. But without him, you're just trying to serve in your own power, and the devil's not going to allow it. There will never be the winning of great temptations because you're under the domination of Satan's power. Let me ask you to turn to him and say, let me become your child. Let me ask you into my heart. Save me for Jesus' sake. And then give me the power to overcome evil. Would you do that? Father, we commit our hearts to thee. We ask that you might help us to open our eyes to the greater truth of this world, that you are in control and that you have allowed difficulties to come, that we might grow, that we might purge out of us that which needs to be taken away. I pray for each one, that they might look to thee and see that their only true strength will be coming from you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.